On this episode of Eye on Digital Marketing, I am joined by Vice President of Digital Services, Matt Crowley. The audio is a little bit different because we did this episode remote, but the content nonetheless is great. Matt joined me and we spoke about options for the healthcare industry if they're worried their data may not be fully protected in Google Analytics. This is episode 58 of Eye on Digital Marketing. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and you can stream the Eye on Digital Marketing podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. My guest today is Matt Crowley, Vice President of Digital Services here at More Visibility. Matt, thanks for joining.
Hey, Chuck. Great to be here.
Matt, do you have any idea how many times you've been on the podcast? A quick trivia question before we get going. Do you want to take a guess?
Gosh, it is far too low. I would say it should be significantly higher, whatever the number is. I'm going to guess two.
Well, you definitely beat two. This is your sixth episode. So,
All right. Three times better. I'd rather say a low number instead of low bar so that I'm three times better than I thought it was right there.
We are all about strategy. Matt, if you wouldn't mind, before we get, too deep into our topic today about analytics and some alternatives and what's going on in the healthcare space, can you just remind the audience about your role here at More Visibility?
Absolutely. So my role as Vice President of Digital Services is to oversee three of the teams within our agency. Those teams include our analytics team, which is really the core focus of what we're going to talk about today. That team focuses on web analytics services. So, we have a predominant focus on the Google Marketing platform, but also work in alternative platforms, some of which we'll talk about today, like Matomo. And we provide everything from strategy to consultation, support, implementation, so changes within platforms like a web analytics platform like Google Analytics 4 or tag management like Google Tag Manager, data analysis, custom dashboards, and all services tangentially related to those. So that's the analytics team. And then I also oversee our search engine optimization team, which is comprised of both content and technical specialists. So we work there everything from content strategy, copywriting, research, consultation, so on and so forth, as well as technical SEO and everything that would be involved there. And then the third team I oversee is our design development team. So that's everything from website design and development to implementation of recommendations that might come out of one of the other teams.
Perfect. And that's why we welcome you on the podcast anytime you like, Matt, because you do oversee all those teams. So it's nice to hear that perspective. And especially for today's topic, because GA4 has been a very hot topic, obviously, all year long leading up to the migration deadline that just passed. But healthcare as well. We have a lot of healthcare clients. Matt, I know you recently did a great webinar that I attended on this topic and similar questions. But one of the main things that healthcare, and rightfully so, is always thinking about is data and the protecting the user, protecting the patient. And I think that has a big hand in analytics tracking, right? And what you can see from engagement on your website and your digital marketing. So we have a bulletin, Matt, that I believe was released, correct? That kind of started, if you will, a big buzz in the healthcare industry. Could you just explain that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And to even get there, I'd also provide a little bit of context, bigger picture, just in terms of where everything stands and how we got to where we are from a data privacy perspective more globally. So you really, user data and user privacy and controls around those have been an increasing area of focus for many years now. This was very heavily pushed in Europe with GDPR starting years ago, and they were really on the forefront of a lot of the regulation tied to user data and user privacy. Mm-hmm. And the US has started to put a lot of additional measures in place since then that have been I would say, fairly fragmented, where GDPR really was an approach that was a little bit more holistic. In the United States, we've seen more targeted regulation that's been somewhat fragmented between the state and federal level. And that's been inclusive of everything from state regulation, like in California, where it's probably been the most heavy with the privacy regulations that they've been putting into place, as well as some data and privacy restrictions at the federal level, but those have been more limited. And we've really seen most of this revolve more around industries that are what I would call more sensitive or contain more sensitive user data. So things like healthcare, which we're focused on today, and finance and banking. With healthcare specifically, you know, there's always been some level of quote unquote regulation tied to HIPAA, but the interpretation of that has really not caught up with the trends in technology. Mostly HIPAA's been, at least, you know, my lack of understanding here or ignorance around HIPAA outside of the web world, tied to more traditional perspectives of HIPAA, you know, would be more centered around patient privacy and how you're sharing your patient information or your personal information with your doctor or doctors.
Right.
So like your electronic health records, things like that, that aren't really necessarily forward facing on the web. But with a lot of new web technologies, there's been a more deep blending of front end forward facing websites by healthcare organizations and healthcare applications that you interact with and that you submit your data to, you know.
And those are like, Matt, not to cut you off, but those are like, if I were to go to a healthcare website right now, you're talking about like maybe a form that I'm filling out on the webpage to go to a certain department or get information about something. Is that a good example?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go back, you know, like 15 years ago, you're not using a website for a hospital at all,
right,
most likely. Or if you are, it's pretty limited. And since then, there's been advances in, you know, now you can log in and access a lot of your data online or submit questions. And then beyond that, it's also, there's been a lot of advances, especially since COVID, with scheduling appointments online, like you're talking about, submitting forms online. So not even when you're logged in. And so there's been this advancement of technology, first, you know, logged in and now not logged in, to provide a more seamless user experience with patients interacting or potential patients interacting with healthcare websites. And, you know, a lot of those healthcare organizations want to be able to optimize the experience for users. And so with that, combined with the user, the technology enabling this user experience, combined with just the vast array of tracking technologies that exist now, from analytics to advertising and everything in between, there's now this world that, you know, HIPAA never really, when it was created, planned for. And so there has needed to be sort of a catching up of the interpretation of some of these guidelines related to HIPAA with all of this new technology. And that's where the bulletin comes in, which was really, generally speaking, it was the Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Health and Human Services that sort of oversee the regulation of HIPAA, trying to provide updated interpretation and trying to provide clarity around the use of online tracking technologies and how those relate to HIPAA regulated entities and the HIPAA guidelines. And so this was really a bulletin that was coming out from those organizations to try to give more guidance on how people should interpret, how regulated entities should interpret HIPAA tied to their use of tracking technologies, you know, predominantly on their websites and mobile applications.
So, Matt, what I just heard is that's a pretty wild world that some of, you know, the healthcare marketers may be living in right now, because you have to, you know, look at your total pie, if you will, and break down those pieces, which is have to stay HIPAA compliant, but you also want to keep your user experience and your technology and the way that your site is ran and what you offer. You want to keep that moving forward. You don't want to be behind the times, but you still have to abide by the law while also maximizing your ROI for all your marketing efforts. So all that combined into one, you're kind of saying that it's a crazy world, and sometimes the technology may be faster than what actually, you know, the laws and the rules have been against protecting a patient's data, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also say that I think it was largely a surprise to many healthcare marketers and, you know, people in roles that deal with tracking technologies and the front end of a website. Because I think mostly the assumption was that all of these regulations tied to HIPAA just didn't apply to the forward-facing, non-logged-in portions of a website. There were assumptions that if a user logs in and you can tell who that user is and they're accessing like their medical record, that absolutely it's very right. obvious that the HIPAA rules apply. But if there's a quote-unquote random person who is clicking around on a website, even if they don't fill out a form, that really largely I think the assumption by most people was that that's an anonymous user. Mm-hmm. There's no healthcare information being shared. They're not submitting anything to us. Therefore, we don't have to worry about it. It's not a violation right. of any of the HIPAA rules. And so I think this bulletin that we can talk in more detail about completely changed that. Mm-hmm. And that's no longer the case, that you can just assume anyone visiting your website is an anonymous user and therefore nothing related to HIPAA applies unless they log in. You know, for years and years and years now, you know, at least in all of our conversations with healthcare organizations, it's always been the case that you would never put tracking like web analytics on the back end of, or the login portion of your website, but that the front end or forward facing version before someone logs in was never a problem, but the bulletin right. really changed that.
So tell us if you could, Matt, you know, more about what this bulletin said, because the people listening know that I work on the business development side. So when a topic becomes hot in conversation for potential partnerships or solving a solution, that could often mean that something was released or something changed, which was the case here. So could you just break down at a high level, like, what did that bulletin say?
Yeah, absolutely. So it said a lot, but there's really a couple things that I think are important to focus on as part of this conversation. You know, there's really three things that it said at a high level that are important to be aware of. Number one, that there's a lot of restrictions tied to tracking on user authenticated web pages. And that's language to just say, if you have tracking code after the point at which someone logs in. So if someone logs in and then they're being tracked by some of these tracking technologies, that could be potentially very concerning. So that goes back to what I said, which is, you know, we've generally always said these tools, Google, Facebook, et cetera, shouldn't be placed behind a login. They just shouldn't be. Right. And if you're going to track data on user behavior behind a login, there's a lot of, you know, rules and regulations that apply, and you have to be very careful there. So the other two that are the really, I would say, surprising things that the bulletin said are, number one, that there are times where the HIPAA rules and guidelines apply on pages that a user isn't logged in. And they provide some examples like condition pages. So if you're a hospital and you have web pages tied to conditions that someone may have, that would be considered health information, wow. which is really shocking because, right. you know, it's certainly possible that if I'm looking at a page on a particular condition, I have that condition.
Sure. Or I think I might have that condition. Or you could be researching for another purpose, right? I mean, that's about the intent.
Exactly. Exactly. Or it could be someone else's condition. It could be my son's or my wife's or my friend's, or it could just be I heard about it in the news and no one has it. But this guidance clarifies that they, meaning these organizations that oversee HIPAA, consider that health information. So there's a lot of nuances and details related to what they consider health information, but that's a big one. That there's now this interpretation that information on your website before a user logs in can be considered health information. And that secondarily, there are things that would now be considered personally identifiable information that maybe weren't clear before or wasn't something that was explicitly stated. So the one that's been most commonly brought up as a concern there is IP address. So if you're capturing the IP address of people who are visiting the pages on your website, that this guideline, this guidance basically states that that could be considered personally identifiable information. And really where these rules and regulations come into play is when you have a combination of personally identifiable information and health information. And we used to sort of all, you know, make the assumption that that was like your true health information, like your name, personally identifiable information, and a condition that you've said that you have health information. And that be then put your data under HIPAA rules. But in this case, they're basically saying, if you're capturing a user's IP address, personally identifiable information, and they looked at a page on your website tied to a condition, health information, that's personally identifiable health information, and the HIPAA rules apply. And so that's been a really transformative interpretation that is very different from a lot of the people that we talk to and how they previously interpreted this.
I mean, that sounds to me, you know, if I was just evaluating my website as a healthcare provider, that I basically now, I guess the question would be, what pages now don't potentially fall under some of those rules, right? Mm-hmm. Like the entire site seems to be now, hey, there's information everywhere. And if you're going to play it safe rather than sorry, then a lot of these pages, condition pages and other things, I mean, sounds like maybe the whole site may need to be evaluated at that point. But
yeah, it's possible. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly, you know, I think with some of this, there's still some areas that are, I would say, a little bit more black and white. You know, I would probably, I think what probably should have started out with is we're not a legal counsel. We are not lawyers. We cannot provide legal advice. None of this is legal advice. This is, you know, our understanding of how this ties to tracking technology and a lot of conversations we've had with people and legal teams at healthcare organizations. And so this is sort of our sharing of the information that we've learned, but this is certainly not legal advice. It's most critical that when you make these determinations, you do it in conjunction with your legal and privacy teams. But I would say, you know, there are things like the homepage that is so broad, it would be hard for me personally to see how that would be considered health information. But then there's other pages that they didn't explicitly talk about, but maybe could be considered health information. So if they mention condition pages, it's possible that they didn't mention service pages, but it's possible that service pages. So if you have, you know, a condition page where there's some sort of heart condition, and then you have a service page like the services you provide for that heart condition, you know, it could be safe to assume possibly that the service page would also be considered, you know, health information, even though the guidelines don't explicitly state that. So the guidelines, while they tried to provide clarity, also left a lot of open-ended questions.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're going to assume that because I'm on a heart disease page that I have heart disease, then why not assume if I'm also on the page of a heart doctor that I also have heart disease? I guess, you know, there's so many ways you can take that. So, Matt, I thought a great part of the webinar and a great part of this conversation is now what are some of these healthcare providers doing? Because if, from my understanding, there's a couple buckets, right? There's some who have read this bulletin and thought about how they use Google Analytics or analytics on their site and are deciding to maybe bring in kind of a third party, what I would call, you know, connector or data warehouse or filter. You can better explain it, but basically making sure that they have a safeguard, right? So that some of these things may not be passed in analytics. What's going on there? And like, what are some of the decisions that you've seen from this announcement?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's really four big broad buckets, I would say. In particular, you know, we'll start with the assumption that you're using Google Analytics, although this could relatively be applied to multiple different analytics platforms. So the first option is don't do anything. That's not necessarily the right option because, you know, I guess the first step is to do an assessment really before you look at these options. So you need to assess, you know, what your interpretation of the guidelines is and guidance is, where your risk tolerance is. You need to talk with legal and privacy. You need to look at what systems you're using, what data they're capturing, et cetera, et cetera. And based upon all of that, if you feel like you're already in compliance, you may not need to make any changes.
Right.
But if you feel like you're not in compliance and you need to make a change, it depends on, you know, that assessment, what you need to do next. But those options that exist are to continue using Google Analytics, in this case, Google Analytics 4, but make changes. In particular, the one that we've seen most organizations potentially have a concern around is IP addresses, because if you have condition pages on your site, health information, and then you have IP addresses, personal information, the combination of those can be problematic. Right. And you know, hospitals aren't going to delete their condition pages. And if they're not tracking those or any of these page types, like we just said, it's a pretty broad interpretation, then basically you're not tracking most of your website. So they don't want to do that. So you can have health information, but you just can't then have any way to tie that to a person. And in this case, the biggest data point that's concerning is IP address. So Google Analytics 4, Google had made a lot of changes to make it much more privacy safe. And they actually state they don't log or store IP addresses.
Right.
But there's been some concern that maybe even if they see it, but they don't keep it, that that could be problematic. And so the sort of safe route that some organizations have decided to take is stay with GA4, but stop sending the IP addresses to Google Analytics. So there's a lot of technical changes that you have to put in place to do that. And I'm providing the big high level bucket, not the complicated version. But basically, you can keep using GA4 without an IP address. You have to take some steps to do that. It's something we've worked through with a few clients of ours. And that way, you're not sending Google Analytics is never seeing the IP address, essentially. So that's right. One option. A secondary option is to use a CDP or some sort of data governance tool that will basically do the same thing, although they have much greater functionality. And that's basically a tool that sits in the middle. It sits on your website, it collects the data, and then sends that data to your analytics platform of choice like Google Analytics 4. And you can just say, before it sends the data to Google Analytics, don't send the IP address, or don't send whatever data that you don't want it to. And so it's the more advanced form of just not sending the IP address yourself to Google Analytics. It's a tool that's going to be a little bit more expensive, but it's going to provide a lot of other functionality and basically sits on your site, collects the data, and then you choose where that data gets sent to. And those platforms typically are HIPAA compliant, or you'd want one that is HIPAA compliant, where you would have a business associate agreement that you would sign with them to make sure that the data they're capturing is treated in a HIPAA compliant way. So that's option two, is to use a tool like a CDP or a data governance tool and clean the data and only send the data you want to GA4.
Right.
And then the third and final option is to completely switch platforms to a platform that is HIPAA compliant. GA4 is not explicitly quote unquote HIPAA compliant because they will not sign, at least yet, a business associate agreement with anyone. And there's a lot of requirements there. So it, and there's nothing to say that it's problematic for HIPAA per se, but it's just that they don't have that business associate agreement that you can sign with them.
Right.
There are platforms that you can do that with, like PWIC Pro. There are also other platforms that you can host the data yourself. And so you're never sending the data to a third party at all. So there's one called Matomo, and that platform allows you to host the data on your own servers, just like any other patient data that you might have or collect. Therefore, you're never sending it to any third party. Therefore, there's never any concerns. And you just run your analytics tooling on top of your own data that you collect and manage yourself. So there's really those three options. Keep using GA4, but do some technical modifications on your own to not send the IP address. Option one. Option two is to sort of purchase a CDP or data governance tool that will do that for you. It'll do more than that, but do that for you. And then the third option would be switch platforms to a platform where either you can have a BAA with them or you host that data yourself and run your analytics on top of your own hosted data.
That is fantastic information, Matt. I appreciate the breakdown there. And I, going back to the first thing you said, which is something that I think we preach and kind of hang our hat on, is being strategic. You mentioned doing that first step assessment, like, you know, what are you using now? What is the interpretation of everything that you said related to what we're tracking? Could we help an organization with that first step, you know, and kind of auditing and researching and giving them some recommendations, obviously not from a legal standpoint, but from an analytics standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely an area that we can help. You know, it certainly depends on the vastness of the tools that you're using. You know, there are some that will be upfront that maybe we're not experts in, and you'll need to have some additional support to look into those tools. But certainly on the web analytics front, we can absolutely help there.
Perfect. Matt, this is awesome information. Appreciate you joining the podcast today. Was there anything else on this topic that you wanted to mention before we sign off?
I think we've covered most things. I'll just kind of recap with a summary that, you know, if you're a healthcare organization at this point, I would say it's critical for you to be thinking about this and looking into it. The first step is to really do an inventory and audit of what systems and tools you're using on the forward-facing, non-logged-in portion of your website. Hopefully you've already done that on the logged-in portion. And then to assess, you know, what data that those tools are collecting and where it's being sent to and whether or not, you know, you they're in HIPAA compliance and you have a BAA with them or if you need to. So really doing that audit and assessment and doing that and not waiting because we continue to see more and more proactive steps being taken by the Department of Health and Human Services. There was even some letters that were sent out recently. I believe it was in the last week by the FTC warning healthcare organizations and healthcare apps over this, that they may be in non-compliance. So it's really critical that if you haven't taken a look into this, that you do it ASAP. And the good news is that there are solutions to put in place. So the sooner you start, the better.
And if you have any questions or would like some help with your analytics, you can talk to us today. Just send us an email, info@morevisibility.com. Matt, thank you so much for joining and breaking all of this down for us today. Super helpful.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.